Hello, I'm Allison Raskin. I'm a writer, mental health advocate, and co-host of the podcast Just Between Us.
What a coincidence. I'm Gabe S. Dunn. I'm a writer, bisexual icon, wink, and I'm also the co-host of this show.
Just Between Us is a variety show where we interview fascinating people, play a ridiculous game called Hypotheticals, and talk about things that affect everyone or maybe sometimes just me.
We also do a show called Too Long, Did Read It, which is a show where we scour the depths of Reddit to find the weirdest, kookiest, most upsetting posts and then give our opinions.
So if you're looking for a new show to check out that goes from silly to serious in the same episode, often multiple times,
back and forth from each of us,
you can check out the Just Between Us feed where we have over 200 episodes waiting just for you.
200 episodes?
I know, we've been doing this a long time.
And it were very funny.
Okay.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
I love all of your, like, the tape situations that you have happening in the background.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With, the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here and checking out the series. Please do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep you up to date on your favorite artist and discover some new ones at iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Coheed and Cambria, going to be talking with Claudio Sanchez about their brand new record called Vaxxus 2, A Window of the Waking Mind, which continues the Amory storyline that's been going on for, 20 years, is that right? Claudio is going to discuss going deeper into this new thread while basing much of the foundation on his own experiences of being a dad, creating a misunderstood character that actually gives a nod to the Who's Tommy, and the new musical territory that the band experiments with. We're also going to talk about covering Kiss, Britney Spears, and their sequel song to Rick Springfield's Jesse's Girl, seeing film and television catch up to his style of fantasy storytelling, and still feeling like an outsider for over 20 years. It's a fun one, and it's an incredible album. We're talking about Vaxxus 2, A Window of the Waking Mind. It's Kyle Meredith with Coheed and Cambria.
Hi, Kyle. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, it's a pleasure to have you on here, and especially since we get to talk about a new record, Vaxxus 2, A Window of the Waking Mind. Another powerful statement that you all have created. I should just throw out the congratulations first.
Oh, thanks. Cool. Yeah, I mean, I'm very excited about it. I think it was the right record for us to sort of put out there, you know, being our, you know, in our 20 years of being Coheed and Cambria. I'm really excited about it.
Now, this gets back to the storyline, but what was the, what was the impetus for sort of creating a new story within the world?
I think just where I'm at in my life. You know, when I look back at the original sort of Amory Wars and those records of like Second Stage to Year of the Black Rainbow, I really kind of see my, you know, I see myself in those stories as like sort of the adolescent coming of age kind of thing, you know, where, you know, I was simply confused at my place within the world and sort of forming, you know, and solidifying who I would become. And now I see myself as like sort of the father figure, if you will. And that's where we're at in the story. Is it's a way for me to kind of tell that without revealing too much, if that makes any sense. Right. I don't know why I keep saying if that makes any sense. It's become this thing that just keeps echoing in my language. But yeah, that's really it. Like, you know, that's why I chose to do it, because I got to tell, you know, I get to tell my, like, the side of my life as a family man, I guess.
I was going to say parenthood kind of. So how did you want to write that into it? Without giving too much away, how did you want to write that into it? Because I guess the other part of this question is, how much of this has to, you know, this fictional world that you're creating has to still reflect a reality that we're in, that you're in.
Right. And it does, because, you know, when I created the idea 20 years ago, it was simply because I had a hard time confessing myself in songs. You know, being the figurehead of a band wasn't something I was that comfortable with. And so that's why I chose to kind of tell my story in this, what I guess some would consider like a facade, you know? But yeah, that, I mean, every Coheed story, though it does have its fantasy counterpart, it is, it's very much an echo of sort of what I'm experiencing at the time I write the record. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I think a little bit of this new one has a lot to do with, you know, my family life, my son. Some of it has to do with, like, you know, figuring and navigating through the changes we all experienced in the past couple of years, you know, and so on and so forth.
I guess there still seems to be a compromise. Like, you know, it wasn't long ago that you did a record that wasn't part of this world and everything. And there's no, not saying that you couldn't do that again, as you talk about your real family life. And by the way, no complaints for me. I love the story that you're creating here, but you still choose to put yourself through this story at some point. I mean, that's a choice, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think I just become comfortable with it. You know, back when we did The Color Before the Sun, you know, I chose to step away from the concept because, you know, at that time in my life, I was going to become a dad, you know, and I thought it was important to tribute those emotions at that time without the sort of disguise of a concept, you know. But, you know, that's the concept sort of thing has just become a part of the process. It's just natural. And in a way, I feel like, you know, I feel a little empty. I mean, it's tough to say, because when The Color Before the Sun happened, we still had like a story component. It just wasn't fantasy. You know, my wife and I just kind of wrote like sort of an autobiographic, you know, piece that just mirrored what was happening when I was writing the record, you know? So, but, you know, but the idea of like translating reality into this fiction is just, for me, rewarding. You know, I love to see these characters and these emotions come to life in the forms of things that don't exist. Yeah. You know, I think it's quite special. So it definitely makes me feel accomplished when I A, write a record, and then B, try to find a way to make it work in sort of another medium.
The great puzzle piece, right? It reminds me of that Beck line, you can't write if you can't relate. I mean,
Oh, right.
That's, you know, nice. It makes sense is what I'm getting at there too. And further on with the family, did I read that, is it your son that's in the opening track?
It is. And today's actually his 8th birthday.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Happy birthday.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, he is, you know, because the character of Vaxis at this moment in A Window of the Waking Mind happens to be about the age of my son when he sang it. So it was about a couple of years ago, because the record's now been done about a year. So it was just something that I thought would be appropriate, you know, revisiting a line from Vaxis 1 and having my son sort of, you know, deliver it as if it were the voice of Vaxis.
Well, I mean, it's already been such a family adventure to begin with on this. So it's, I love that it's just getting deeper
right
than that. How does this subtitle encapsulate the new story? A window of the waking mind.
So it's a little kind of jagged. So in the story, there are characters called Windows. So there is like some ambiguity to it, but you know, the character of Vaxis is a little misunderstood. And that's sort of one of the things the family is sort of trying to navigate, being that they are these outlaws on the run. They're trying to kind of communicate to their son, who they feel might have like sort of a dysfunction. When in reality, he is actually more of a higher being, sort of an evolved human, actually happens to be, I don't want to give too much away. I'm going to like, anyway, it's just a window into who he truly is, really, I guess, is kind of what the picture I'm trying to paint with the title. Sorry, I don't want to give too many spoilers away. I don't know when this is coming out, but
you know what? This is, if it matters, this is probably going to be a few weeks before it comes out. And
okay.
And I'll ask this question. And if you don't want this question here, we can nix it, because this might be what you're getting at here. Because if I understand it right, I mean, this is a person who experiences infinite outcomes.
Right.
All at once.
Yes.
Which, by the way, sounds like it could be as debilitating as it is useful.
Right. Well, at this stage, it's almost, you know, Vaxis is in sort of this catatonic state. You know, he is, you know, nonverbal, like almost like Roger Daltrey's character in, you know, Tommy in the mm-hmm. Who, right? Mm-hmm. And so to them, their initial approach is to medicate, and you know, being that they are outlaws, it's not easy to sort of get the medication. So the story opens up with the characters infiltrating this pharmaceutical company, which is run by one of the houses. There's five houses of the Star Supremacy. Those are our villains. Sorry, I know it's a little much to go through all the minutiae and detail.
Please.
They choose to go that route, but they realize that, you know, in acquiring the pharmaceutical, there are these side effects, you know, and they're not entirely sure and confident that this is the thing that they need. And then in meeting sort of an old friend, they realize there are these beings out there that the houses are using for some greater purpose that we don't know just yet. But these beings have these like properties that have like cured certain things, which are called Quintillion speakers. And so they choose to try to do that route instead. But in actuality, they realize that the Quintillion speaker singularizes the perception of Vaxis to the point where it drags him into the present, and he, you know, and to them thinks it's a cure, but it's actually kind of takes him away from like the thing that makes him special, if that makes any sense.
Fuck yes. Just sort of absorbing all that. And you're like right up my alley with so much of this and everything, you know. But you know, as I'm hearing you say this, you know, here we are talking about obviously where you took the parental part of this story, but where does that part come from? I mean, you know, in the musical term, is this just, you know, you all jamming up the idea, or do you find that that you're also, you can pinpoint the direct influences of where these specific parts of the story come from?
You know, for me, you know, it just has to do with like, you know, being a dad. I mean, most of the music was written sort of in this room. It was a very personal, intimate process. For me, I think when I originally started the idea of Vaxis, as a body of work, I started to read these books about sort of neurodevelopment. One happening to be Neurotribes, and it was so inspiring. Some of the stories that I read in there, that it very much like sort of informed where I would go with a character like Vaxis. You know, so that's kind of where the initial inspiration came from. If that's answering your question.
Absolutely. I mean, once you get into just the mysteries of what the human brain is capable of. I mean, I think that's one of the greatest routes for any science fiction that can go right there. I mean, there's so many windows of opportunity, pun intended, right there.
Right.
Mike Rowe here with a radical idea. If you want to see more companies make more things in this country, buy more things from more companies who make things in this country. I refer in this case to the incredible t-shirts, sweatshirts, blue jeans, and more made by my friends at American Giant. Everything American Giant makes is made in the United States. And right now, you can take 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com/Mike. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Then do you have the, I mean, so this is part two out of what I understand is five part story arc. Is that already all mapped out?
As far as where I'm supposed to go with the subsequent parts, like I understand where I need to end, what the target is, but you know, the music will really sort of inform what the meat and potatoes, for lack of a better description, will be. You know, will fuel like sort of the story to get there. And you know, again, that has a lot to do with like my experiences and the things that are inspiring to me in my everyday life that will kind of help, you know, structure that. So yeah.
That's nice. So the bones are all of there. It just, whoever you are in that present tense is what I do love that, you know, kind of leaving it open. You know, we mentioned the music a few times, but we've not actually talked about the music itself.
Right.
So what was the, was there an idea also that you had in mind for what the music was going to be for this record?
You know, yes. So some of the material had been written around the time of the Unheavenly Creatures, the Vaxxis One record. But I wasn't sure it was quite finished or appropriate for that time. And so, in that way, there, you know, songs like The Liars Club, Beautiful Loser, I believe Comatose, these songs were kind of gestating. And then, you know, then we sort of hit lockdown, and then my mind sort of realizes, well, you know, there, even though Coheed never really creates these limitations for itself musically, there are some there subconsciously, you know, and I think, you know, being sort of in lockdown, thinking that maybe, you know, will we have a chance at another record? I started to think, well, whatever walls I've put up for myself that I don't necessarily showcase to the world, I'm going to knock those down, and I'm going to start to fool around in some territories that don't necessarily make, not that they don't make sense for Coheed, but I know that for our fan base would compartmentalize them in like sort of the other project I do. So songs like Bad Man or A Disappearing Act, these songs, you know, may initially sort of live in the world of the Prize Fighter Inferno, but I thought, you know, well, this, why Coheed should have no limitation. Let me drag these types of songs into this world. And I think it really helped kind of round out the record, but yeah, that was my approach, and you know, some of the lyrics, you know, because of the things we were experiencing, maybe got shifted a little bit, you know, and again, when I wrote some of those songs, you know, around the time of Unheavenly Creatures, you know, they had like different reasons. Like Ladders of Supremacy was originally going to be the opening track for Unheavenly Creatures, that record's Dark Sentencer, if you will, but it didn't make sense at the time for that album. And I think makes a whole lot more sense as the song that opens the back end of the record.
It's interesting, you know, talking about the different sounds, because this was probably right around the time that you were also putting out those the covers during the pandemic. Like, you know, I wrote down here, Love Gun, Kiss, Baby One More Time. Was that part, as you saw, of sort of breaking around? I mean, I'm sure it's not the first time you've done covers, obviously, but for having those specific songs seemed like it would be sort of an entryway into some different sounds.
Oh, well, no, you know, to be honest, the record had been done when I did those.
Okay.
Yeah, the record. So we finished recording mixing last year, like I think just out of the summer, and sort of Love Gun and the little snippet of the Britney Spears tune were just sort of something I did in, I think, the past couple of months, probably before the last tour that we did. So they were just kind of like for fun, just random. I think my wife made the suggestion about the Spears one, and I thought, why not? Travis's son is obsessed with Kiss, and his obsession with Kiss sort of reinvigorated my interest into the band. So that was kind of the reasoning for choosing Love Gun as a cover. So yeah, I don't know if they were necessarily related.
It does open that door, and I think maybe you've talked about it as a possibility for the covers album, the covers EP, or something like that.
Possibly. You know, we've done so many covers in the past that it's hard to really see them together. I mean, you know, I think of like Under the Milky Way or Rush in the Push by the Smiths, or, you know, I mean, going so far back as like Our Love by the Outfield when, you know, I was still recording on a 4-track cassette player. You know, we'll see. I mean, the idea that I loved of recent that we talked about was when we did the sequel to Jesse's Girl, the possibility of making a record of sequels to songs that are not ours. So that's an idea we tossed around at one point that I thought was kind of interesting. But I think at the moment, you know, completing Vaxxis is probably the priority, but we'll see. Who knows?
You know, you had my mind racing there a little bit of the possibility of just working it into the current story, like, and this is the classic songs that our characters sort of listen to, you know, in the, because then it makes sense. Then it's part of the world, you know, it's
right. Right. Try to figure out a way to create a thread. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, it is an interesting jump there. Have you seen that? Or have you found that, that television and movies have sort of caught up to your style of storytelling in a more mainstream way?
It's funny you say that. Yes, yes, and yes. You know, but I wouldn't necessarily call it mine. You know, when I think of like Good Apollo, for example, and the story there, you know, where the writer sort of enters the world and sort of puppeteers his avatar to self-destruct everything. You know, for me, that's a thing that I kind of got from Kurt Vonnegut, you know, where Kurt Vonnegut would write himself into stories, at least this is my understanding, into stories as Kilgore Trout. And that was sort of an inspiration for me to kind of create this meta situation where, you know, the fiction meets the real. And now you're getting into these like this multiverse sort of idea. And now you see that happening a lot with like the Marvel movies. And, you know, one of my favorite movies of all time that I just recently saw maybe a couple months ago, Everything Everywhere All at Once. Incredible movie like that, you know, so you're really starting to see that happen a lot. And, you know, and I'm very much into that. And I think that's something that, you know, I see happening with the Amory Wars in general. I mean, obviously with In Keeping Secrets, but with the Good Apollo storyline, but also some future ones as well. So,
I mean, what the metaverse just opens up as a possibility of storyline, same way we were talking about, you know, when you can experience infinite outcomes all at once. I mean, that there's sort of seems like a hand in hand thing going on right there.
Right. Absolutely.
And just to further on and compliment you and congratulate you. I mean, Shoulders, you know, being, you know, such a nice hit for you guys. And I was kind of having a small laugh because, yeah, I think you've said, you know, Shoulders and you know, being one of the catchiest songs you've ever written, and certainly Comatose, I feel like falls in this very catchy category too, to be songs about sort of being about outsiders, but to be so instantly likable in themselves. I mean, The Cure perfected that, by the way, you know, so, you know, we've got some history, but I did that balance. Was that an obvious thing when you were creating those?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think, you know, a lot of that has to do with like a song, like, for example, like Beautiful Losers, you know, or Shoulders, they very much sort of resonate where our characters are at in terms of the obstacles they have set before them. But it also very much echoes the 20 years of Coheed and Cambria and just always feeling sort of like the outsider in the scenes that we were brought up on, you know, feeling a bit more, feeling a bit like the underdog in the race. And, you know, so for me, that I think that's why Beautiful Losers, I held it until A Window of the Waking Mind, because, you know, I knew some of that sentiment was there, but, you know, I didn't truly feel what it would feel like to have 20 years behind me until the last year. So yeah, I definitely see that happen, that theme happening in songs like that for sure.
Well, man, thank you for 20 years of incredible music and storytelling and artistry and everything you do. And Claudio, congrats again on a Window of the Waking Mind. And dude, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it. Seriously, this has been such an honor for me.
Oh, awesome. Well, thank you, Kyle. I really appreciate you taking the time and talking to us. I mean, yeah. You know, Coheed. Not me and the 500 personalities that are in the room with me. Just chill out over there. No, I'm just sorry.
It's the infinite alive and well in our reality right here. I appreciate it. I cannot wait to see this live as well. So we'll see you out there on the road. Dude, thank you so much.
Thank you again, Kyle. Be well.
My thanks, Claudio Sanchez. Coheed and Cambria, the new album, is called Vaxis 2, A Window of the Waking Mind. Thanks to you as well for checking out the episode. I do hope you hit that subscribe button before you get out of here. Again, 3 new interviews every single week, new ones every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, YouTube for the video versions, anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. It's an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews. Again, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also catch me on the social media spots, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all three of them at Kyle Meredith. Do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition of Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Bye.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at HereYouAreAZ.com.